I just don't want people to get kind of stuck in this monotony of like, how long can I hold this plank? And it's so boring and I have nothing to look forward to. Incorporating push-ups into your workout and calling that an ab day is legit. That's so legit because you are working. And same thing with the push-up. We're elevating. We're not going to our knees because we are working on our core. The big question is this. In a world of fake Instagram models and fad diets, how do real people achieve their fitness goals? We are an army of hardworking women changing their lives through fitness and health. Wherever you are at on your journey, we have the answers to how to make working out and eating well a part of your life. Join us in changing the dialogue for women everywhere. Welcome to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. I'm Kelsey.
Welcome back, guys. I'm Rachel. We're happy to share another week of health and fitness, tips and tricks, life hacks.
Life hacks.
Shit we're talking about today.
Yeah, today's going to be a whole vibe, but I really love a good list. So break out your notepads because we have a great list for you today of how to get a six pack.
Oh, shit. Most clickbaity title.
We're going to take that sound clip right there.
It's like so funny to me on the abs because like if I was going to guess the most clicked on ever tagline for fitness, nutrition, health, like anything in that category has got to be how to get a six pack. I mean, yeah.
It's kind of a wild one for women too, because I mean, it's not a secret that men tend to have more six packs and are able to maintain it easier than women. Yet true to form, we are just keep going for it and completely ignore that we have like extra organs in that area. Like we're ignoring that.
I don't want to talk about my uterus. I just want to see all six of my front abs. And like that is so, it's so weird too, because it's like, we know that that is not a measure of fitness. We know that it's not a marker. We know that we can take a person with a visible six pack and put them in a plank challenge with someone without a single ab being visible, and that there is no indication of who will win because it's just not always the tell for core strength at all. But we keep doing it.
Well, you brought up a good point there when it comes to core strength versus visible abs, which is something that people, you know, tend to completely ignore, where like someone who has completely visible abs, and that means that they have a lower body fat percentage in their midsection, and someone who has an extremely strong core, those aren't necessarily the same people. I mean, someone could have a visible six pack and have an extremely strong core 100%, but just as likely someone could have an extremely strong core without a visible six pack. So, and you can see that in the amount of, you know, weight compared to their body weight that they're able to support in something like a front rack, where you're able to just, you know, maintain that upright positioning, saying like you have an extremely strong core, but you know, there are so many athletes out there who don't have a visible six pack and they can support some goddamn weight.
It's true. I think if you've ever struggled with the idea of how to get a six pack, how no matter how many days you train abs, you don't seem to have one, or what are the exercises? If you've ever wondered any of these questions, I think today's episode is going to be really informative. So let's welcome today's guest to the show. It's your core.
It's your core. Welcome, core.
Thank you for always being in style, never actually being fully understood, and causing a whole bunch of back pain for so many people. Thank you so much for being with us today, core. We love you.
Oh, the core everyone's talking about.
We also
about.
Hate you.
We love you. We hate you. But honestly, the primary player in your body and your body movement is your core. So I think like just giving the core some time and actually talking about what your core is. And we're obviously talking about your midsection, but that doesn't just include the six muscles that run down, the one that we all talk about in a way of like six individual that run down the front, but your core is just like wrapped around your entire midsection. And it's a big player in your health and fitness and how much, you know, pain you're essentially in on a daily basis, but not in the way that you think it is. So we are going to give you some of the best core exercises. We are going to name some of those. And I think that they are not going to be exactly what you think they are. And honestly, we're going to kind of debunk some of the ones that you think are the best core exercises and have historically been named as the best.
It's so true. So a double shot today of truth, which is, yes, there are completely effective ways to exercise your core that will get you stronger, in less pain, and more stable throughout your entire day. And there are some exercises that are not
a waste of fucking time.
They're a waste of fucking time. They're a waste of your fucking time.
And the thing is, we've all done them. We've all done this. And when I name some of these waste of fucking time exercises, everyone is going to sit there and be like, I wasted so much time, me included.
When I think about the amount of crunches.
The amount of crunches. And honestly, from such a young age, right? Like the first thing you start to do when you think about core exercises, I remember doing this in my living room at home, like before I even had a gym membership. I was like, well, I need to have a strong midsection. I got to do some crunches.
So let's jump right into our first myth, because it is right on track with the tens of thousands of weird. Let's take a moment to think about what we're doing in the crunch for a second. Like, let's just take a minute. Okay. So we want a really strong six muscles in the front. And so here's what we're going to do. It's the muscles that are in the front stabilizing our whole body. I got it. Let's lay down and awkwardly crook our neck, so that we're like in this like weird fetal position on our back. And then we're going to like move half an inch. That 10,000
neck strain.
A little bit of neck strain, a little bit of awkwardness, and a whole lot of laying down. And we're going to be confused at the end of the day on why that has not produced results. The first myth that I really want to get into is that all of the most effective core exercises are laying down. That could not be less true. In fact, I would argue that the least effective core exercises are laying down, because when you think about the function of the core, the muscles that support our ability to stay upright, that's literally what they do. In a posture that supports your vertebrae along your spine and all of the muscles and fascia that are around your internal organs, that's what we want to train. And we're going to train it in a way that is completely opposite to the way it functions daily. It's made to hold us up, and we're going to lay down to train it. It's just, it's a no for me, dog.
Well, it's kind of a weird thing, because we understand, you know, your midsection is your core, and we very much understand that that holds you upright. Like when you sit and you have an active core, you have good posture. And in order to develop this core strength, we think, well, let's just take away what it's doing. Let's just lay down. That's like saying, in order to get better at running, you should just like lay down and like run in place. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, we're going to deactivate what we're our midsection in order to strengthen forward. With some crunches.
I had a neck though that was like on fleek.
Bill.
I had a huge neck and not so many abs. Yeah, it does seem silly sort of when you break it down like that. But if you ask 9 out of 10 people what the most effective way to build their abs is, they're going to give you an exercise that is in a laying down position. And so we just want to start off with that myth and debunk it, because when you think about it, I think you realize that it doesn't, what we're saying is that it doesn't make any sense to be completely deactivating and then trying to isolate when you could be getting a much better bang for your buck. Our second myth, Kelsey, tell them about the days of abs every day.
You know, this is how you know an exercise was completely ineffective, though, is that you could do it on a daily basis and just be like, well, I will continue to do abs. Why don't I still have abs? It's like doing core and air bunnies, some of these core exercises every day, and thinking that we're building a strong core by repeating the same exercises is not the most effective way to train your core. So that whole idea is more equals more. The more that I do core, direct core exercises, the closer I am to getting a six pack. And it's just not true. Number one, you need to look at the exercises that you are doing. And number two, you have to realize that when you are doing full body movements and we're talking actually about your core, there's no way that your core is not involved in some of those full body exercises. So it really is a weird thing because we're like, you want abs, you do core. And it's like, well, wait a second. Let's A, identify what we're actually trying to do. Are we trying to increase core strength? Are we trying to decrease body fat surrounding your midsection? Because that's not with isolation either. So we can do as much direct core exercises as you want, but if you're maintaining a significant amount of body fat over your midsection, you're not getting the desired effect that you're looking for.
It's so true. And back in the days of Rachel at Workout World, we're going to run, walk on the treadmill for an hour, and then we're going to do an ab circuit. Probably at one of the highest body fat percentages I've ever had in my life doing that kind of same thing with zero abs. And I mean, showing zero abs showing.
Yeah. But doing abs every day.
I always have the six in there. And so do you guys. So do you. we're not going to like grow them from like a little seed and like a bean. Here we go. We're going to grow you. You have them. They're already there. You had them in utero. But doing that every day was so counterproductive because the muscles, those six front muscles, are just like every other muscle in the body. They actually have to be repaired. What you're trying to do when you're building up a muscle is you're trying to essentially tear it down a little bit every day to make it stronger so that it can come back with more definition, more strength the next time. It's an adaptive feature of your body that if you ask more of something, it will adapt to provide it for you. So the thought that we're just going to, you would never train glutes every day, you'd never train legs every day, you'd never train your biceps every day, like that doesn't make any sense because you know that the repair phase is the most important when it comes to that. So training abs every day is a huge mistake because you are not allowing any of the repair to that muscle group that it needs in order to actually grow and get better. And without the proper recovery time, you're risking all the things you would, same as if you trained quads every day. You're going to risk injury, overuse, and the worst thing is with core, loss of stability. So you can't train abs every day. It sounds like a good idea. More is more. The more I do it, the better. It just doesn't work that way in this case.
Yeah. The idea behind that is really just like thinking of that as a more isolated movement as well. So like when you think about people who are directly training core, and I'm just going to keep using, you know, things like sit-ups and crunches as an example, is that you're just isolating kind of like the smaller muscle group that you're looking to target in the front, and you're not actually addressing a whole core. So when we do that, we don't do things like Supermans, which are where we're working our lower back, which is also part of our core, or, you know, working any of our side muscles. Like when we're looking at actually stabilizing your core as a whole, we're not doing that when we're just isolating some of the like front sexier muscles. You're looking at really like a muscle imbalance. And again, just like a waste of time, because what we're trying to do and what actually becomes more effective is strengthening your core so that the rest of your 23 hours of the day, you have a more, a strengthened core. So you're able to sit up straighter and then you're able to activate your core. Everyone just sat up a little bit straighter right now. I know it's everyone listening to this podcast, you're driving, you're just like, But when your core is stronger, and I know anyone who has seen improvements in their core strength, who has been, you know, at fitness for a little while and has seen some increase in core strength, knows that they do sit up more, that their posture is better, that their core is more active throughout the day. And that just feeds, it's a, you know, movement feeds movement, right? So like that just feeds the strengthening the core throughout the day, because we know that 1 hour at the gym, maybe an hour and a half. Okay. But there's 23 other hours, there's 22 other hours. Even if you're spending a ton of time, like you have a 2 hour gym session, that's fine, but you still have 22 other hours. So like during that time, what are we doing? And if we're only looking at isolating front, you're like your front core muscles, you're not looking at your entire core. We're not looking at building a strong foundation so that for the rest of the day, we sit up a little bit straighter. We're constantly activating our core.
Absolutely. So busted up a couple myths. I just want to leave with one final myth before we exit the myth section. There is and has never been such a thing as spot training a muscle. You cannot say, I'm going to isolate this specific muscle, and therefore the fat that is on top of only it will melt magically away as the muscle gets stronger. We cannot spot train, guys. We've never been able to, and we still can't. So if you are looking to create a stronger core to be able to support better and healthier movement of your body every day, that's got to be the goal. If we are looking for visible abs, we are going to need to consider the fact that there's a huge part of genetics that is going to be played there, and that a massive amount of it is just body fat. Now, where you lose your body fat is highly dependent on your genetics again. So that may be the first place to go for you. It may be the last place to go for you. It doesn't really matter. Doing abs is not going to melt the fat off just your abs. That's not gonna ever work. So let's think about strengthening the core, and let's think about doing things that are going to overall decrease your body fat. And wherever that comes into play for definition for you is gonna be, again, highly genetic. Our first best core exercise that you can be doing, you could do this one every day.
I just said
you can't train core every day, but you can do this one every day, guys. No more daily crunches, but how about fixing your MF and posture, guys? Our number one best core exercise that you can do for more core endurance, better definition, better strength, more power, all of it, is to sit up straight.
Yeah, this is a tough one. But also I think that you can consistently check in with yourself throughout the day to see how you're sitting and how your posture is affecting how your posture is doing throughout the day. Like, do you find yourself slouched over a lot? Do you find your hips kind of like rolled under in your chair instead of like sitting back? And this one I think is so important, because you know posture is so important for everything that you do and how you interact with the world. So I never miss an opportunity to kind of think about our posture. And when you have a moment to notice what your posture is, note that whatever your body is doing is always giving feedback to yourself. It's always giving feedback to your brain. What do I think about myself? How am I feeling? Like, you know, when people say like, well, I'm just feeling so tired and I'm just like unmotivated, and it's like, well, yeah, your whole body language is telling me that for sure. What are some things that we could do to slightly adjust that, and then to start to build off of, you know, how you're feeling throughout the day? So sitting up straighter, rolling your shoulders back, standing. I know I said a lot about sitting, but if you have the opportunity, if you're someone who works at a desk and you have the opportunity to have a standing desk for at least some portion of the day, kind of like moving up and down is what I do, it can be a game changer for you to just not be sitting for that significant amount of time. If you don't, just make sure you're having moments where you're getting up, you're stretching, you're getting longer, you're working on your posture, get up, get longer, which is another reason why like crunches are such a weird thing. Cause like everything you're doing is getting smaller, getting more crunched. And it's like everything that we want to do from a posture and core standpoint makes us want to come up, makes us want to be longer. So if you can do any of those things throughout the day, that would be excellent.
As you alluded to, the most important thing when it comes to, you know, core engagement and awareness does not happen in the gym. It happens in all of the hours outside of the gym. And I'm just going to go ahead and say that I'm fine with people working on their core for 11 hours of the day. You can quote me on it. I'm saying, yes, you can absolutely work on your posture for the other 11 hours that you're not at the gym and see better results than 10 million crunches five times a week. I will guarantee it. So did you see, I just made a guarantee.
We'll guarantee you have a stronger core in 6 weeks by fixing your posture.
So as Kelsey mentioned, you know, the way you sit or stand on a regular basis is going to make a massive difference in your particular posture faults. And I want to be careful when we're giving posture advice because each individual person has their own faults. And I think that when we give sort of universal advice, we could be actually making someone's individual fault worse with that advice. So it's very important that you know your own posture faults. When you think about diagnosing yourself and where your posture breaks down, I think that you need to think about where's your pelvis. A lot of people, women specifically, have a breakdown of the pelvis in like a severe tilt where they're, think of this as like you're sort of really arched in the back and the butt is sort of sticking out.
Like a dancer.
The pelvis is not in line with the spine. It's like jutting out. And this is leaving, if you kind of put your body in this position for a second, it's leaving the core very unengaged. It's sort of almost exposed because it's not being involved in keeping the pelvis and the hips under the spine. It's just sort of like lazily letting the pelvis fall back. And that's a lot of women's issues. Where are your ribs? Another issue that we see in posture faults is a flared rib. And this sort of accompanies that anterior pelvic tilt too, because like your whole thing is just kind of let go. And so the core, without the core being engaged, the ribs are going to flare. This is putting a tremendous amount of pressure on your low back, guys. And that, when we think about different posture faults, what I see most commonly is people with that tilt or those flared ribs are 9 times out of 10, they're going to say they have low back pain. And that's not surprising to me at all. And then you have other people who tend to have their posture faults in their upper back. So maybe they are a little bit more aligned pelvis-wise, but they are constantly in that, like, I'm the Hunchback of Notre Dame until I'm not, right? So you might have the breakdown where you need to be thinking about shoulders back and down. But here's the thing, with people with flared ribs, if you tell them shoulders back and down, they're going to flare their ribs. And that's why all your cues are going to really be personal to you. So try not to go off of those universal cues.
Oh, it's me. We're interrupting this podcast to tell you about the coolest leggings that have ever been on the planet ever. And if you are going to try to crush this new year, you need them. Why are you laughing?
You sounded like that kid. Have you ever had a dream where... Have you ever tried the best leggings and then they are sweatproof?
No, it's so true. Sweatproof, squatproof. They are so freaking comfortable and they have pockets. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not currently wearing our leggings, I gotta tell you, you are missing the boat, sis.
You're missing the boat. And the thing is, most people don't know as they start to get new leggings that not all leggings are created equal. Ooh. And you don't know that your leggings are see-through until you've been wearing them for a month at the gym and someone gets up the courage to tell you that they've been seeing through. Our leggings never see through, completely squat proof, sweat proof, and they stay up while you're working out. So grab a pair for this new year at constantlyvariedgear.com. Yeah, I think that's a really good point to identify who you are, because I know for me, my posture faults always come in my shoulders. Like, I won't tend to necessarily like flare my hips. Like, my pelvis is pretty well aligned, but my shoulders are always like where the faults come in. The shoulders start to roll forward, and that's where it just kind of like, I'll be more of like sunken in rather than flared out. So just know yourself and kind of note, like, if you find yourself sitting a specific way, you'll notice it. You'll notice which one you are throughout the day. Or for a lot of people who have that kind of like flared ribs or that like dancer stance, it's a lot of times when you're standing up and you're kind of like sticking your belly out and sticking your butt out at the same time. And it's just like, you can tell like, oh, should I roll that? Pull those ribs in?
Pop in the one hip.
Yep.
Standing on one foot. A lot of people do not realize that they sit and stand on their dominant foot almost exclusively and let the other one, like, they're basically standing on one leg. They're like flamingos. But it's something that you have to notice. Right now I'm like sitting all on one cheek. Like, I know this about myself. And so a couple of posture kind of cues that I found that are helpful to everyone without like going after your individual faults, but are like kind of universal enough that we can all use them. Right now, I want you to pretend that there is a string that runs through your spine and out the top of your head. And I want you to now imagine there's someone pulling that string up from the top. So that is going to help in all areas of alignment. That probably just helped you put your ribs back in, your pelvis back in, and your shoulders back in down without having each one of those cues if you're not needing it. Second cue is to try to breathe by moving your rib cage and not your spine. So just take a minute, take a little breath, and try to move your rib cage, not your spine. Did you feel how your core just engaged there? Right? You had to stabilize in order to not lazily breathe through your spine. So just think about that during the day. And then the last one that is pretty universal is thinking about your foot tripod. So when you're standing or even you're sitting, because you can do this with sort of with your glutes, but let's talk about standing. Your feet are supposed to all be touching. First of all, they're supposed to both be touching the ground.
Yeah. Start there.
Because I'm like famous for like the flamingo. And then you need to try to equally distribute your weight throughout your feet. All right. So we have a lot of people stand solely on their heels, solely on their toes, like on all on one foot. Can you create a standing position where your heel, your base of your big toe, and your base of your pinky are all equally rooted and connected to the ground? And that's on both feet. So just stand up and try to create a position where you can feel the base of your pinky toe, the base of your big toe, and your heel all getting equally distributed weight. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be like, oh my God, this, I've never stood like this in my life.
No, you likely never have. And honestly, when you look around, so I had listened to this podcast about posture and the posture expert, and she talked about this specifically and just like how powerful it can feel to be on both feet and to be standing straight up and to feel, you know, super grounded and to have, you know, your feet fully on the ground and to have your shoulders back and like just what that posture means, what it tells the people around you, but also what it tells yourself. And you just notice how nobody stands like that. Men more likely to. And honestly, this posture can seem a little bit aggressive because it is so substantial. You are a substantial person. You're not leaning back. You're not leaning away. You're not leaning to the side. You are standing upright with every, you know, your feet fully on the ground in a very even way. And your body is in more alignment there than it honestly is for the rest of the day in so many other ways. So it's a really important thing that's just so underutilized that we can really start to incorporate if we're just thinking about it throughout the day and kind of like putting into practice in the moments that we can. I understand maybe you're sitting in a circle talking to people and you're just like, I am here. I'm on. I can feel my feet try, but like maybe like sometimes it's not going to be all in. But if we can start to incorporate this a little bit, we can start to look at some of those imbalances and honestly get more pain free. And what's more important than that? So that's posture. We're going to move on to our next core exercise that we feel is extremely important to your six pack. And it's exactly what you think it is, I bet. No, it's not. It's weighted carries. And you did not think I was going to say that. But these are suitcase carries, waiters carries, farmers walks, any front loaded walk. So we're talking about the barbell in a front rack position. I mean, can we just like pause for a second of like looking at what your core is doing when you are loading something in a front rack and holding it in that position? You are complete. You can't even put your arms up unloaded in that position without engaging your core. So these are extremely effective, way more effective than anything that you're doing laying on the ground, both for reducing body fat, perhaps in your midsection, and if you get there, but overall reducing body fat and strengthening your core. So if you're looking at the most bang for your buck, these are the things that you're going to want to incorporate well before anything that you're doing laying down. But I just want to call out some common faults here, because a lot of people have incorporated some of these things into their exercises. But if we're doing something a million times but doing it wrong, are we doing it?
Bear shits in the woods.
Yeah. Are we doing it? Because if we're going through, I would rather see you do less sets, less reps, and do something correctly than kind of do something, especially with things like waiter's walks or weighted carries, where people kind of just are rushing through it and their posture looks particularly poor during that time. So if you're letting your shoulders roll forward while you're doing your carries, if you're kind of like letting your core go during some of your carries, we're not doing carries, right? We're not working on developing a good, strong core. So some of the things that you need to think about is making sure that as you are loaded, you have a good, strong core, your shoulders are rolled back. You know what that looks like. You know what that feels like, that you're pulling up in your core and you're able to hold the weight in a strong position. So no sloppy posture. Overengaged traps is another one, just because anytime you have anything in that you are supporting in either arm, sometimes our stronger muscles, not sometimes, our stronger muscles are likely to take over if that's what they've been trained to do. So a lot of people, Rachel's traps, are like, hello. Hi. You put something in either of her hands, her traps are ready to take the load for those. Now, in a lot of ways, having engaged traps are a really good thing, because that means that your shoulders aren't rolling forward. But we don't want them to take so much of the load that you start to, a key way you can see this, your elbows start to bend. So like if your traps are over engaged and your elbows start to bend a little bit, it's like you're not allowing your entire body, especially your core, to be able to carry that load and to be able to really develop your core and your midsection. The last one is just, we're always going to say this when it comes to women, is going too light. So, you know, I got to tell you guys a funny story. We had one of the girls who came to our photo shoot, and she was doing some movements in the gym. And she said something about, you know, I'm only the 10-pound dumbbell. And I said, Allison, I saw the bag you brought in. And that had so much clothes and three pairs of shoes in there. I guarantee it weighs more than 10 pounds. Are you out of your mind? Like, you don't. And she said, you're so right. Like, I'd never really thought of it that way. And just people don't realize what they have the ability to pick up on a daily basis and what they are actually picking up on a daily basis wrong, right? In a way of like, you're picking up your kid or you're picking up your dog. That's like a moving object. And it's not completely even in the way that either you're picking it up or the weight is evenly distributed. In the gym, you have the opportunity to pick up evenly distributed weight, and you have the ability to fix your posture around that. So the next time you pick up your waiter carries or your waiter walks, first of all, when you're picking them, say you have two kettlebells on the ground, when you're picking them off the ground, do not pick them up looking at the ground with a rounded back. You should never be looking at the ground before you lift something up. get your feet under, roll your shoulders back, get your eyes forward, and then you lift up. You're not going to have a rounded back if your eyes are coming up. If you fix that posture in the way of like you bring your butt down, you bring your shoulders forward, you pull your core tight, and you're able to get a good standing position and challenge that weight.
So as far as the weighted carries, all of the ones that we mentioned to you, we have an amazing movement library that demos like... I don't even know how many we have, thousands at this point of movements, but we will give you all of the demos of the weighted carry suitcase, waders, farmers. We'll put them all in the show notes. So if you'd like to see a video demo of how to do these things, so you can incorporate them into your training, just get to the show notes. Our third most perfect core exercise that you should be doing as part of your routine is dead bugs and bird dogs. These are kind of like, I put these together because they have a similar goal. And that is that we actually have a lot more than just the six, right? We have deep core muscles that are attaching to our ribs, our pelvis, and our spine. And those muscles are so vitally important when it comes to posture and staying out of pain. I will tell you that I learned this firsthand after my pregnancy with my son, is that I had been training throughout my pregnancy and got back to the gym very quick after I had a C-section. I don't know how much that played into what I'm about to describe, but I was back in the gym and having a impossible time picking up my own son because I was in so much pain in my lower back. But I will show you a picture of what my abs looked like. And I don't know if I've ever had more popping abs. My abs were extremely defined. I had very little body fat over them and they were very, very strong. The six I'm talking about in the front. I've never been in more pain in my life. The reason that I was in so much pain is because my pelvic floor and my transverse abdominis were in such disarray from being pregnant and potentially, you know, being cut open and having organs on the table and stuff, that I had so much damage that even though my abs looked like I was extremely strong, I had so much pain as a result of a weakened core. And that tells you everything you need to know about the way a stomach looks compared to the way it performs. And what I had to do was completely go back to square one and start working these muscles that I literally had never heard of and had never engaged. And it was the most awkward thing, working your pelvic floor, working those deep core muscles. I realized I had never even understood how to turn them on. And dead bugs and bird dogs are a fantastic way to get yourself sort of familiar with those deep core muscles, because you will be sore in weird places that you never felt before when you do these right. And I would also recommend that every woman look into some pelvic floor work, how to engage your pelvic floor, how to best breathe when you're lifting to protect your pelvic floor. It is wildly important when we talk about the muscles that run along your spine for the stability of your whole entire trunk and how much damage you can potentially have despite the fact that your abs look great. So dead bugs and bird dogs, we're going to put both of those in the show notes. So I really recommend you get these in immediately, guys, like every woman.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, the reason why I added, you know, bird dogs with the dead bugs is because I really like doing them together, because dead bugs, like once you see the video, like you're doing them on your back and then you flip over and then you're doing bird dogs on all fours. So you're kind of working both. Like I really like doing them together. It doesn't take that long. And Rachel is absolutely correct when it comes to pelvic floor health and when it comes to connecting those deep core muscles is, it's really important for women, regardless of if you have had a baby or not, you really don't realize how disconnected those two can be and how much pain it can cause and how much pelvic tilt it can cause or how much imbalance it can cause between having such a disconnect between, you know, kind of the core muscles that we're seeing on the outside and what we relate to is our inner core. So next we're going to move on to jumping.
I'm looking for my poppin' abs pick.
Oh, you get that up. You get that ready. I will say something about one of those weird times is that we could see Rachel's digestion at one point, and it was so weird. Like when you had the diastasis and the middle, and we were like, what's going on in here? Like you could see everything, but it was like so bizarre.
This is what I'm saying about the damage that can be underneath your abs. So it's like, this is like, your abs can look like this, but like, I literally had no functional strength whatsoever and was in a massive amount of pain. So it's not just those. And I just, you know, have my own.
Caution to women. Caution.
You have a very, very lot of fascia and pelvic floor work that you could start doing right now that I'm telling you would help you so much. Number four is anything jumping. And I bet they didn't think we were going to say this. You can jump any height, any direction, just jump. Because did you know that milliseconds before you jump, your core muscles all tense up in anticipation of your takeoff and your landing? We know this, right? You do this unconsciously, which is why I really like it as a core exercise, because it doesn't take a whole bunch of concentration and isolation and all of this. It's something that your body's going to do anyway in preparation for takeoff and landing. Plus, this is a great just overall metabolic work where, if we want to talk about bang for your buck, you're working on strengthening your core as well as lowering your body fat percentage, as well as improving your conditioning metabolically, all of this. So any jumps, box jumps, jumping rope, jumping, like doing side to side type hops, jumping squats, any of those, they are amazing core work and they're not getting their due because it's not like that direct kind of obvious one. But yeah, when you jump, your core is under constant tension the entire time.
Well, yeah, when you have an impact of like when you have obviously an explosive movement where your entire core is generating a lot of that explosive movement, but then the impact, your body is absorbing any type of impact. And as soon as it decides that you're going to land, that it's contracting to absorb a lot of that impact. So yeah, it really is. You can incorporate this in so many different ways. We really kind of left that open-ended for you, but I think that it'll just be a fun thing where you like next time jumping's incorporated in your workout, you're like, oh, I'm just doing core today. Don't worry about me. And for our fifth one, we are going to talk about planks. And I know like some people are like, oh, of course planks, but let's just talk about planks for a minute. Number one, let's just understand that time in a plank is different than any other time on the planet.
My God.
30 seconds in a plank is actually equivalent to 6 hours.
It's like dog years or something. Yeah. It's like plank years, like seconds become years. It's really... It's not for me. I freaking hate static hold planks. I know how important they are, but that is why I worked so hard in this section to show you that you can plank in so many other ways and get the benefits of the plank position without sitting there contemplating all your life choices where seconds become years and you just want to die.
Well, here's the thing that we have to think about planks though, because every time people like to really go for a plank for a length of time. And I just really like to caution the idea that we want quality over quantity. We're talking about. So if you can do the longest plank hold ever, but you have that saggy back and your core is dipping in the middle, what is the point? I would rather you do a really strong core, a really strong plank. You know the one I'm talking about where your body starts shaking? For 15 seconds rather than a minute and a half of a lazy plank. Okay? Like we want to do planks well. So I named just one, but the other one is when your butt it shoots up in the air and you more just look like a weird tripod. And it's like, well, are we doing a plank here? There's tons of variations of plank. So I don't want you to think that if you can't do a plank, like on your, you know, on typical on the floor and your hands are on your elbows, that you can't work on planks. We can always elevate planks into being very effective without going to your knees, where you start to break the plane of your, you know, that like boarded plank that we're looking for. So when we talk about elevated, just think about elevating to a box or a bench where you're still in that full plank position. You can feel your butt squeeze. You can feel your core squeeze while you're in your plank position, but you're not broken at the knees.
Absolutely. Going from your knees it's just an interruption to the plank that doesn't allow you to engage all the muscles that you could be. And when you elevate it, you eliminate that. So we're not planking from our knees, guys, but I want you to also keep in mind that there are so many ways to plank that are beyond that traditional plank. Push-ups are planks. Inverted rows is a upside down plank. Renegade rows is a plank. Bear crawls, ring rows, evil wheels, kettlebell pull-throughs, all of these
mountain climbers,
great one. All of these are plank work. And I just don't want people to get kind of stuck in this monotony of like, how long can I hold this plank? And it's so boring and I have nothing to look forward to. Incorporating push-ups into your workout and calling that an ab day is legit. That's so legit because you are working, and same thing with the push-up. We're elevating. We're not going to our knees because we are working on our core.
And honestly, kettlebell pull-throughs is one that or dumbbell pull-throughs, either one.
We can link this too
if you're not exactly sure what we're talking about. But what I really like is some of the rotation there and some of a weighted rotation, because like that's essentially what is going to stabilize your core. And when it comes to a stable core, man, that's what we're really looking for, where your core has the ability to stabilize you. This is going to help you for the rest of your life. Stability is what we're looking for from our men,
friends.
Just overall stability.
But children.
But here's the thing: when we're looking at how to stabilize in a weighted position, kettlebell pull-throughs is a really, really great way to do that while you're already holding a plank position, and just one that you can really incorporate.
A couple honorable mentions just before we go. Obviously, there is unlimited amounts of ways in which you can work your core. We gave our five most effective, but really constantly varied, right? And just make sure that you're getting the bang for your buck and that, you know, we're not laying down if we don't have to be. Some honorable mentions: glute bridges.
I'm glad you said that because I put glove bridges.
You did.
But you know what I mean.
I know what you meant. Glute bridges are amazing. Oh, you mentioned mountain climbers. I love for people to get some rotation in there with like landmines. I think that again, we need to make sure that those are quality and not just being done to like sling some weight around. But
you got to do rotations.
You've got to. You also have to do anti-rotations. I love Pawlof press for this. To me, it is one of the best anti-rotate, like for stability. If people are having trouble, like let's say in their overhead squat or in their front squat, they're having a core breakdown in stability. I cannot say enough how much Pawlof press needs to be present.
100%
training.
And just thinking about if you have any hip pain, if you have any lower back pain, these are really, I can't say enough about landmine rotations or Pawlof presses in order to fix that. Like I can't say enough. You don't believe it until you start incorporating it and then you start seeing a reduction in pain. But rotation and anti-rotation is very important to have in your training. I also wanted to just talk about like lateral flexion for a little bit. So when we're standing and we're doing some standing side bends, this is really good for stabilization. Anti-lateral flexion moves like single arm farmer's carries, which we talked about already, but I just wanted to make sure to put the single arm in there as one of the variations, because having weighted on just a single side and then the other side is really helpful when it comes to stabilization for the other side.
And these all fix common posture cues. I mean, they don't fix them, right? Because you have to be mindful and to fix them, but also they build up the stabilizing muscles that are failing, that are allowing you to have those same common faults in your posture all the time. So like when Kelsey says like anti-lateral flexion being really important to keep those sides both equal, that's going to help you to not stand all on one foot or lean completely to one side. Like all of these things are going to help everywhere across the board. And like we said,
it exposes you too. Yeah, if you've ever done any type of anti-lateral flexion, if you ever have done a single arm farmer's carry and you realize that one side is much more difficult than the other, or you just feel in your core, like it just starts to, this is how I've figured out I had some imbalance in my core on one side. And when I went to physical therapy, she said, like, did you have a core injury on this side? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. Not the one that I necessarily remember, but life, playing sports, like how you move on a daily basis, like one side was significantly weaker than the other. But you really expose that when you do some of these unilateral movements, when you do something that is weighted on one side, you can feel the difference and you can start to correct that.
Yeah, my exposure is the next one is the Superman's. That's my exposure. Yeah. That's when like you're like, okay, look at you. You're pretty, you got a pretty strong core. Can you do a Superman? And I'm like, oh my God, no. Put Superman's in there, guys. Put mad ball slams. We're gonna put demos to all of these, but stop laying down.
Stop laying down.
No more laying down.
Just flat. No more. No I mean, more. There was a ton of great exercises listed in here that A, don't involve either any equipment or a ton of equipment at all, and that you can incorporate on a daily basis that I guarantee you is going to help you feeling better, which is essentially what we want to do. So let's not glorify the six-pack abs that we have been told is the gold star of fitness, because it really isn't. That's not our gold star of fitness. There are so many ways to get a really strong functional core that is going to help you live a happier, healthier life and is going to get you to move in a pain-free way that can be completely attainable for you to get a strong core and to just get the best bang for your buck when it comes to spending your time in the gym.
Yeah. So if you try any of these or put any of these in your training and you want to tell us about it, get in the group, get in the app, show us you doing these. We would love it. And happy core day.
Thank you so much for listening to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. If you'd like to join our movement, get in our free app, CVG Nation, available in your app store. We have an amazing community of women, coaches to help you with your movements, challenges, and we give away leggings daily in there. Rachel and I are in there every day, so it's a perfect place to get in touch with us. This podcast is made possible by Constantly Varied Gear, so be sure to check out constantlyvariedgear.com. Have an amazing week. Crush your goals.